You're listening to Boy Neil on House of MNSN Radio.
Okay, we're back. You know, a couple of things I maybe should have said up front about Ed Koch. He was elected under the liberal, the Democratic Party, the Liberal Party.
Right.
Supposedly the one that was to support things like civil rights and all. So, I mean, this kind of hit the whole gay, I think, and lesbian community like a rock. And to give you an example of what was going on there.
Just I want to interrupt you just for a second, just so I'm understanding this a little bit more. Now, did the gay and lesbian community know that he was gay? Or was he hiding this whole fact?
He was hiding this whole fact.
So from everybody.
It had started to leak out, and different news sources and all would ask him straight up, are you heterosexual, homosexual? He'd always deny it or say, I'm not going to discuss that. It was always kind of suspected that he was. But because it seemed like every time somebody said that to him or suspected it, he became more, when you read through his life, more a gay bully and more anti-gay than anything, because he did not want to be considered gay. And to me, this is the evils of not accepting yourself. And listen to what was going on. First of all, I'm going to kind of jump back and forth on this story. You know, to give you an example of what he did, during the biggest thing was during the 3 years that of Koch's administration, when the epidemic was going on, his administration spent $24,500 on fighting AIDS and HIV research.
Okay.
San Francisco, which at the time had one-tenth the population of New York, spent $4.3 million, and then it grew over to over $10 million annually by 1987. But Koch voted it down every time. Other things he voted down because he didn't want to be associated with, oh, I don't want to help those gays. They might think that I'm a gay.
Right.
You know, that's the way he was. He says needle exchange for injecting drugs, injecting drug users was resisted by the Koch administration, leading to thousands of unnecessary HIV infections. Even Britain, and at the time was under conservative Maggie Thatcher, and I remember Margaret Thatcher. She was a conservative. Embraced needle exchange early on and virtually contained the end of the epidemic. And public education commenced there almost immediately. I mean, all these things could have happened in New York City, and he voted it down. They were handing out brochures even in England and everything. And the sad part of New York City, and I never realized it was this bad, hospitals. Overcrowding was so acute in New York in the mid to late 80s due to the decommissioning of beds that people with AIDS were often consigned to gurneys and hallways rather than getting the care they needed. Many people with HIV-related illnesses were shunned in city hospitals, their food left at the door by fearful healthcare workers. I mean, that's how bad it was in New York City. And you had a mayor who was gay. And if you read the story, it turns out his boyfriend died of HIV about 8 years later. He died of AIDS. And he was in the closet. And he couldn't accept who he was. So he had to think he had to not only not help others, he literally harmed others. He killed others, really, when you think about it.
Wow.
Because there was so much he could have done that could have helped other people, that could have helped to curb or to shorten the epidemic.
I mean, well, okay.
Under control. Really sad.
Why? Okay. But you got to look at both sides of the story. You
got to
see, too, okay, he was a gay man, but the age that he was and the generation that he is, a lot of people think they're going, and at that time, he probably would have lost everything. And a lot of people, and not that I'm standing up for the man, but you got to look at it that, you know, if you're not open, there's always two sides to a view, you know. And if you're not open, and your way of making a living, and how you feel that you are respected and viewed as, is maybe more important than the real support of your supposed community that you have.
But the thing that I find tragic, Sir Mark, I respect what you're saying, is the fact that because he was in the closet and he didn't want people to suspect it, it wasn't that he didn't do anything for the gay or lesbian community. He did things that harmed not only the gay and les community, it harmed thousands of people because, it, you know as well as I do, and I've been involved a little bit with AIDS Community Services, which is now part of Evergreen in the United States, needle exchange, which has nothing to do with gays or lesbians. The needle exchange program, which he voted down, could have helped curb or help slow down the epidemic, as it did in England, as it probably did in Toronto, as it did in San Francisco. I mean, addressing the problem, but he wouldn't recognize these because it was, might be thought of as a gay issue, and they might think I'm. I mean, he could have just done what
terrified.
Any human being could have done. Yeah. A normal human being, not in the closet, would not have done what he did.
But again, it goes back to, I think he was so afraid of the rest of the majority, and it takes somebody strong. And that's the one thing that people forget, and you know, people in our chat room and stuff. Sometimes people don't have the guts or the courage to stand up. Some people can't even get up in the morning just to go to a regular 9-to-5 job because somebody might know that they are gay or there might be a rumor. So imagine if you are somebody who has power, who is in the eye of the public. It is sad.
But with that power came responsibility. And
yes.
I feel that the man failed his responsibility. Mm-hmm. His responsibility was to protect all the community, and he wasn't doing that. In fact, he was harming them because he was a gay bully. I mean, it's a closeted gay bully is what he was. And I've seen that.
But that
I
was
did
more
a little of,
a,
of that when it, I was growing
it
up.
It sounds more like it was a defense mechanism for him at that point in time rather than being
it was
just
a defense
out
mechanism.
And out
but
that, like,
that's why it's all connected. It has nothing to do with the sexuality.
No.
It has to do with human rights. And if the average human people in the world would realize that human rights affect
everybody.
Every single one of us at one point or another in everybody's life. And that decision that he did, refused to do certain things, don't you think he is paying for it now?
Oh,
or
he
did
have.
The last couple of years? Because
I'm thinking the man had to be miserable.
Not even
inside. I'm just
yeah.
He
and
really had to.
I'm sure that he had demons that he had to deal with when that doors were closed, because he ended up probably dying alone.
Mm-hmm.
The person that truly cared for him was now gone.
Yeah.
People who thought they knew him are not there for him. Maybe so, and that is why it gets frustrated that it's not a sexual issue; it is a human right issue, and if government people and all of us realize that every single word and we can make a difference. Maybe not by showing our face to, you know, so people know that you are gay or bi or whatever, but by writing, by standing up for something, even if you can't do it in front, there's other ways to do some things to make
don't,
a difference.
But I guess my bottom line is accept who you are, accept yourself, and then if he would have accepted himself, I think was part of his problem, he wouldn't have become such a bully. I mean, he wouldn't have become so negative against, I mean, basically doing things against the gay and lesbian community to because of that defense mechanism. So he just accepted, you know what, I am who I am. People can deal with it.
But people don't, a lot of time, are so afraid of and don't know how. Don't know how.
I know. And I guess I saw a little other side of it as well. And when was it? Last night? No. Friday night, Master and I watched a movie, which Master was kind of bored of, but I was kind of glued to, which was Lincoln.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't had a chance to see Lincoln, and if you have anything to do
I just got the
politically.
Look. Like, you watch that movie?
Yeah.
We'll watch it again.
We won't.
Why?
We won't tell you the ending. Sir.
I'll watch it by myself.
We won't tell you the
Burn
ending.
Burn me a copy.
Sir.
I'll watch it in Toronto.
Wow. We won't tell you the ending, sir.
I hope you're comfortable there till about 9 o'clock, because at 8 o'clock I am going upstairs.
No. Anyway, I watched Lincoln, and it kind of and that movie kind of hit me in a lot of ways. Some parts, but I'll be quite honest with you, pissed me off. It really got me pissed off inside. And you know, but Lincoln was a man who many historians now will state was at least bisexual. I mean, it's pretty much, if you talk to any professor of history, many doctors of history will say, yeah, it's the documents have been released where he had his gay lover. They used to travel together wherever they went. It wasn't in the movie.
I was going to say,
he was his assistant. He wasn't a cabinet member. He was his personal aide, personal assistant. Went with
that's
him
his butler. Butler. I wonder if that's where that word came from, butler.
I don't know. But things would happen, whereas when he got a room, and when he was traveling, a room in a boarding house, hotel, wherever it was at the time, of course, he's a president. He has his own room. His assistant slept with him. I mean, it's just, no, one room, one bed. We sleep together. There's also been documents that have been released about, at the time, Congress and Senate, it coming up about what do we do about the president in this relationship. And Congress and Senate basically just said, well, we really do nothing. He's
a president.
He's the president. Look what he's doing. They just kind of said, we do nothing. It's happening.
Well, really, what are you going to do? Are you going to try to impeach him for that? At that time, they probably could have killed him for that, really.
Right. But he didn't hide. Yeah, he didn't do anything. Yeah, at that time, he was fighting for, you know, it was amazing to see what he did because he was fighting for civil rights. And I did see it in some of his readings. I've seen it. The man had much more insight. He wanted to see, he could see in his head, I think, because in some of his speeches he talked about hundreds of years down the road. He could see what we're going through now, where even gays are and lesbians are getting things like marriage equality and full civil rights. But he knew at the time he had to take it one step at a time. But to him, that was, he felt like he was giving up by doing that. I mean, he wanted Afro-Americans to have, blacks to have full rights. And that's what he originally wanted to fight for. And at the end, it was like, well, you know what? We have to at least get rid of slavery. And you could see almost a defeat when he got that done, because the goal was he wanted so much more. He wanted full civil rights. Because when other senators, members of cabinet would say, you know, they're going to say the next thing, you want to allow the blacks to vote. And then a woman might be able to vote. Oh, my God. And Lincoln was like, well, yeah. And I mean, in his speeches, he kind of said, well, yeah. That's where his heart really was. But he was so far, in many ways, ahead of his time. And that may have been, he used his he knew who he was, and he was comfortable with
it. Well, we don't really know that he was.
Come gather around, people.
But there were some bad things. I guess we're going to take a break here. And then I'll talk a little bit more about it.
We'll be right back.